how I count my carbs and not my calories. I am your host, Adeola Gbadamosi. My podcast on diabetes alternative cure. Today's episode is how I count my carbs, carbohydrates, and not calories. Calories have been defined as a unit of heat. That is what is required of you, what your body will expel to burn a unit of calorie. What your body will actually burn one unit of calorie, and that's what's called calorie, a unit of heat, what it requires your body to be able to burn a calorie. So calories people do count calories to lose weight. They tend to reduce their intake of calories. For instance, an average man, an adult, may require 2,000 calories a day to function well, depending on the type of job he is into. If he is into a hard work, like say a carpenter or a mechanic, is into a heavy work, heavy duty work, he may require more than 1,500 calories. It may require up to 2,000 calories a day, and this varies a lot as to how he spends. If he's doing a very hard work, he should be able to burn these calories within some hours because of his nature of work. But if you're taking a calorie and you don't have the ability to burn these calories, then these calories stays in your body to form fat. That is the understanding, even in the medical world, that if you don't have the ability to burn the food you put into your mouth, and which we call calories. So the ability, calories means the measure of the heat you need to expend to burn that food. Then the food will stay in your body. It will become fat, F-A-T. So I have done this before. I have practiced counting my calories around 2010. Actually, it worked. It worked. I was advised to find satiety. I was advised to find satiety. That with looking for satiety, and that my satiety will come if I eat some kind of food, and if I remove my mind from the cravings of eating more, then if I practice, I eat and I stopped eating during this during the time I'm eating, for some time, I should be able to feel full if it's practiced properly over a time. That if I say, for instance, I start eating and I feel I should stop eating, I feel full, and I say, okay, let me stop eating. And as I practice this over time, then I will now have cultivated the manner or the habit of not craving for more. Because what that advice gave me was that a lot of people crave more. Even after feeling they are satisfied, they still eat more. They still eat more. And as they eat more, then their belly expands. Their belly expands and get more and more and more, and they get fatter and fatter and fatter. So the advice, according to the book of calories I read, that I should cultivate the manner or the habit of stopping when I feel that I am satisfied. I should stop immediately I feel, I have the feeling that I'm okay. Okay, the hunger is gone, I should stop. But if I continue to eat after I feel that the hunger is gone, then I will continue and continue and continue, and my belly will continue to expand. The second day, the third day, it will expand and expand and expand and expand. I practiced this in the year 2010, it worked for me. I became slim, to the bewilderment of my family, seeing me once pot bellied, and now I became slim. But I suffered some disadvantages. After some time, I wasn't able to walk well. I was feeling pain on my knees, and the bone in my knees actually was shaking and making noise. So I was so afraid. I wasn't able to walk far. I get tired and the rest of them. But I went back to my normal eating habits, and that was all. That was my experience about counting calories. Counting calories, I went back to my former habit of eating whatever I want to eat at whatever time I want to eat them. And I became fatter again. I became pot-bellied again. Much more bigger than the former time. So this is my experience about counting calories. That was about some 10 to 12 years ago. So, how do I now start counting carbs, counting carbohydrates? Why is counting carbohydrates better than counting calories? Why is counting carbohydrates better than counting calories? Carbohydrates are food, starchy foods, food that contains starch. Whatever form. And the understanding is that carbohydrates gives us energy to perform our chores, our stuff in day to day. It's energy giving food, carbohydrates in whatever form. So the advice goes that one should be able to count his intake of carbs or carbohydrates, and with that knowing the amount of carbohydrates you put into your body will naturally make you go slim or reduce your weight. So I started this, particularly I am being announced as diabetic. So I count my carbs. How did I start counting carbs? I can understand from various sources that there are numbers they call glycemic index of foods. Glycemic index of foods, of different types of foods, and they count it as 1 to 100. So there are types of food that will contain between 1 and 9, of then 10 to say like 25 or 20, and then from there to up to 75 and 100 as to what level of carbohydrates and glucose they contain. So I decided to eat the lower rung of the carbohydrates index, that is the glycemic index. The considered food containing carbohydrates in this measure, they consider only food containing carbohydrates, and they range from 1 to 9, or 1, 9, and 10 to 15, and 16 to. That's how they range these foods up to the point of 75%, 10%, 15%, 25%, and the rest of them. That's how they categorize these foods. But one is very safe if one eats all the time, if you eat between 1% to 20%. So I take food between 1% and 20% in the glycemic index level most times. Because anything above 40-45% becomes very dangerous. It's considered as the amber type. And anything above amber is going to be red. And that red is very dangerous. From 50 to 100, very dangerous for somebody who is diabetic and is counting carbs. So in my part of the world where our traditional food is full of starchy concentrates of starch. For instance, you have a concentrate of starch in our traditional food of prepared from cassava, and it's called eba, or they call people call gari diet. It's concentrate of cassava, and fufu, which also a concentrate of cassava. Then we have inyong, that is the pounded yam, concentrate of yam. And we have boli, a concentrate of the plantain, starchy food, plantain. So these are the traditional food we eat that gives us energy. Now, I have to avoid these foods. We also eat bread, which also kind of a concentrate of wheat. And we have also eat semolina as a staple food. Semolina, that the one they use in Europe to wean children, is used here by adults when we boil them and bring them and then make them swell up and things like that. So it's a concentrate of wheat. We eat semolina. We eat their family. We also eat noodles. We eat spaghetti and macaroni, things like that. So these types of food contain high concentrate of starch or wheat. So I have avoided that since 3 years now, almost 3 years now, I've avoided it. And I have been able, because it is based on the calorie and the carbohydrates in them, the level of carbohydrates in them, and they are above 75. So these are in the glycemic index level or scale, they are high, above 75. They are highly concentrated starch. And I have avoided them the past 3 years. I have been able to eat foods that are low in glycemic index. The percentage that I really love to stay on, or the range, is between 20 and 40. And those are the type of foods that I take. For instance, I take egg in quantum. There was a time I was taking about 6 eggs every day. For about a year, I was taking 6 eggs every day. Sometimes I take egg and meat when my pocket is very buoyant. I take fish. I take chicken. Protein. There was a time I was even taking... I eat fat. I buy fat from the butchers and cook it, and put some pepper and the rest of it and make it tasty. I take them. I take a lot of olive oil, and I take vegetables. I found a clever way of boiling tete in the Yoruba parlance. It's called in the other normal Nigerian, and they call it grain in the market, but we Yoruba call this type of vegetable tete. But in normal Nigerian way of life or to the language, they call it grain in the market. The market women call it grain. I take this, I will boil it slightly for me to be able to take it. I take it boiled, and I take ugu also. It was very, very effective. Very, very effective. Particularly the ugu type. I boil the ugu to soften it, and I take it with egg, fried egg, or meat, fried fish. And I take the carbohydrates glycemic index of beans, cooked beans. In fact, a serving of a plate of beans can contain 10 grams of carbohydrates. Now, these 10 grams of carbohydrates, I calculate the fiber. And if you have a serving, say a plate of beans, of cooked beans, big plate of beans that may contain, that say my body is satisfied to have about 10 grams or 15 grams of carbohydrates, then if I count the fiber, then the plate may not contain more than three grams of carbs because of the fiber. You need to have these fiber types of food to reduce the rapid change in your body into glucose. It slows down the process of transforming the beans or the food into glucose. Every food turns into glucose in the body, but it depends on how the body changes this food into glucose. So that's how it depends. For instance, if you take pounded yam, for instance, that's high concentrate of yam. Immediately it goes into the body, say a swallow. Then that swallow, within an hour, turns into glucose. Within a few minutes, turns into glucose. And if it turns into glucose, then it has to be burnt. So if it turns into glucose within a very short period of time, which means it will have taken your blood sugar level at a very high level. Your blood sugar level may rise up to 400 at that period you've eaten. Say you eat a bowl of pounded yam. No matter whether you put vegetable or meat or whatever you put, the quantum of the pounded yam you eat will have taken your blood sugar level to about 400. And if it goes to 400, within an hour, it will come down. Because it goes up so high, and it will come down so speedily. And if that happens, that turns into a roller coaster type of process. So it goes up and comes down, and goes up and comes down. So if you eat pounded yam and within 1 or 2 hours you feel hungry again because it has gone up and come down so rapidly, so speedily, then you want to take more and eat more. Unless and unless you are into even if you are into a hard work, if you can, that pounded yam can serve you for 3 hours because you're doing hard work. Let's say a carpenter or a bricklayer or anybody that's in a hard job, then your body will have been trained to work on this kind of thing, and you are having always a roller coaster type of. Glycemic index of a yam concentrate or a pounded yam is almost above 100. Is above 100 because of the quickness and the rapidity it comes down. It goes up and comes down, so it's very high in blood sugar level. But if you take food that is very low in carbohydrates, then it will rise a little and goes down for so long. It will rise, the rising will be so, before it will rise up to 20, it will be so like 2-3 hours before it will start coming down. So If you eat like that, then your body will have trained itself to be at a level that your sugar level will be able to be sustained for hours, not the ups and downs, roller coaster type. So that I have done, and I've seen that it has worked so much for me that in fact I don't feel hungry again. I don't feel hungry again. So if you accustom your body to feel satisfied for many hours, feel satiety, that is, you don't feel hungry for so many hours, then you will have become very healthy. That's, I can bet it, you'll be very healthy. Because most of the dangers we face, health dangers we face, is caused by these carbohydrates we put into our body because we don't use them. Even if we do hard work, it's still, by the time we are declared diabetic, say like retiree, like somebody who is above 60, then that person should avoid any food that is having a high glycemic index above 40. Should avoid it. My intake of carbohydrates is between 0 and 20 grams every day. And I'm very conscious about that. That's what I count. I count between 0 and 20. No more. And I don't count calories. I only count my carbs. So if I'm buying, I don't take high glycemic index food that contains a lot of carbs. For instance, I don't take barley. That's roasted plantain. I don't take eba. I don't take amala. All these byproducts of yam or gari or all this kind of food, they contain high concentrate of carbohydrates, and they are very high in what we know as glycemic index. If you are in intermittent fasting program, you may avoid your breakfast for some time until it become an habit. If it becomes an habit, then you almost have succeeded for bringing your body to normalcy. Your body will be balanced. What is causing a lot of trouble? For instance, you wake up in the morning and you have a lot of pain all over your body. It is caused by what you eat. It is caused by what you eat, no more, no less. So I count my carbs and I don't count my calories. Calories, you count your calories, you reduce your calories. For instance, if you count calories, and if you are going to eat, now you eat a lot of food that contains a high level of carbohydrates, it will have destroyed all the calories you counted. And even if you are exercising too, if you eat high concentrate of carbohydrates, it will have destroyed all your effort in exercising. Even if you leave the gym, come back home and eat. If you eat high level concentrate of carbohydrates, it will result into zero. This is what I want to share. I count my carbs, I don't count my calories. Thank you. See you next time.